Good morning to everyone, brothers and sisters and friends. Greetings in Jesus' name. It's a pleasure to be with you again this morning and worship the Lord. I've been blessed richly this morning with the labors and efforts of our brothers here, teaching and sharing the word and reading the scripture. much to ponder already. Much spiritual food for our inner man. You know, the Bible talks about that even though our outward man perish, yet our inner man is renewed day by day. And that's the real us. That's our soul, spirit, that needs that spiritual food that God has for us in His Word. And that's why we come to church. That's why we're not out in Lake Ozark this morning behind a boat that's speeding down the lake and we're holding onto the rope and water skiing, or whatever it may be. Brother Steve talked about the envying the wicked and the things that they do for their pleasure, their enjoyment. See, that doesn't last. That outward man, that woman, someday they're going to be too old to water ski. Then what are they going to do to get their fulfillment? And even so, it's not a lasting fulfillment. It does not satisfy our souls. God made us that way. Nothing will satisfy our souls like God's Word and Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Well, this morning, I'd like to open our Bibles. You can turn with me to Psalm 55. Going to read this Psalm 55. This psalm is written by David, as many of the psalms are, but this one in particular seems that it was written perhaps in connection with the time when Absalom, David's son, rebelled and overthrew his father. And David was on the run. He had to leave Jerusalem. He had to leave his palace, where his throne was, where he conducted his king work in leading the nation of Israel, because his son had conspired against him. And as we read this psalm, there's a few details that will point out. Verse 12 to 14 especially indicates that it may be that David wrote this over that time. And you think about those verses as we read them and think about that story, and we'll talk about that more as we go as we look at this morning. Psalm 55, verse 1. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. For they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, Oh, that I had wings like a dove! For then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go about it upon the walls thereof. Mischief also and sorrow are in the midst of it. Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her streets. For it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company. Let death seize upon them, and let them go down quick into hell. For wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old, Selah. Because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. He hath put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. But thou, O God, shalt bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee. This psalm is full of a lot of emotion. And David goes back and forth between calling out to God for help, talking about the way he felt, the way this affected him, and talking about what had happened, and then asking God to help him, and also at the same time, he's asking God to punish the wicked people. But I'd like to center my thought this morning on verse 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain thee. That's the title I'll give this morning. Do you have burden? Or do you have burdens, plural, this morning? Now, burden is something that you can feel. You can feel the weight of it on you. It's something that you have, that you carry, that you have to carry, or that you carry. You've taken it up for some reason. The burdens that we have this morning are all different. And yet, they're a lot the same. But they vary in size. They vary in how much weight there is. Well, each of you have your burdens. Because you're human, you're people. Maybe it's the burden of earning a living. Putting those hours in, making the, you know, doing the planning, doing the hard work of working with people. To get the job. I'm looking over here at you brothers this morning for this one. The bills keep coming. Bills keep coming in the mail. You have to keep up with family needs, growing families. Or maybe it's a burden in caring for the family. Mothers in your daily work. You make a meal and sure enough you have to make another one again, right? And it's just one meal after the next. children and husbands are hungry. And, you know, we could name a lot of things. The laundry, the cleaning, you know, all these things that are, well, they're responsibilities, aren't they? They're responsibilities that God has given us. You fathers, husbands, earning a living. And wives and mothers, taking care of your families, taking care of your husbands and children. So, you know, we could do what Jonah did. Remember what he did when God told Jonah, now you go to Nineveh and you cry against it because those people are wicked. And I hear the cry of their wickedness. And you go there and you preach. But Jonah didn't want to go. Instead, he decided he's going to run away from God. Well, we could try that. Did it work for Jonah? No, we know it didn't work for Jonah. He couldn't run away. God could see him wherever he was, and God still laid that responsibility on him. God rescued him from his runaway and brought him back to land. And then once he was on land, then the word of the Lord came to him again. Hey, Jonah, you go. So we can't run away from the burdens. The burdens of responsibility, the burdens of duty, but there's other burdens too. There's burdens of grief. Because we've lost something. We've lost an opportunity. We've lost a loved one. We've lost a friend. There's burdens that come with health issues, poor health. Apostle Paul had one of those burdens. We don't know exactly what it was, but he asked the Lord if he would take that away. Three times he beseeched the Lord that if it was his will that he would remove this. God said, told Paul that his grace is sufficient for this. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And there's other burdens. There's fears that come to us. David talked about some of these fears. Fearfulness and trembling come over me. And I was impressed with the songs that we sang this morning. I could go back to each one and just point out some of these thoughts. But Brother David talked about the cares perplexing. In that song about life is full of cares, perplexing, I'd almost lose my way. Then he led the song about does Jesus care? No, I'm getting mixed up. That was a song I had thought of. I thought of that song as I sat down here in church this morning. Does Jesus care? When the burdens press and the cares distress, see, these burdens are heavy. They get heavy. And we can't carry all these burdens. So we can try to do what Jonah did. We can try to run away from them. Or we can get someone to help us carry them. And that's what the psalm is telling us here. Psalm 55:22. Cast thy burden on the Lord. That's what we are to do with them. Now, that's what we're going to talk about here. Primarily, we cast our burdens on the Lord with prayer. We come to God in prayer to cast our burdens on the Lord. And I'll just look at this morning with the word cast. Thinking about how we do this. How do we cast our burdens on the Lord? And then we'll look a little bit at how he sustains us as well. I want to use two accounts mainly for looking at this. And one is the story of David and the story behind this psalm. And the other one is in Acts 4, where Peter and John had healed the lame man at the Gate Beautiful in the temple. And what happened there? So I'm going to write up on the board here the things that go with the letters in cast. For the seed will say commit, and for the A, ask. For the S, submit. Be careful, we got some students back there. You can see I spelled that wrong. And others. And the T, trust. Think about those. Cast. When you cast a burden, it's something that you throw. You throw it down, or you throw it away. You throw it out. So we could really make this, I'll make this broad this morning and say that a burden is anything that you would like to get rid of, if you could. Yeah, and we talked about some of those that we really, it's our responsibility. And sometimes they're not burdens to us. They're joys to us. But other times they become heavy, the responsibilities that we have. And the situations that we face. You know, a situation can become a burden to you. Maybe it's teaching your children, teaching them to obey, teaching them to tell the truth, teaching them to be respectful. That can get wearisome. So we can't carry them all, but we can call upon the Lord. We can cast them on the Lord. So for the C, we want to commit. Commit the burden to the Lord. Commit the situations. Give the situations that are burdensome to you. Give them to God. And we do that, like I said, through prayer. Now turn now to Acts 4. And let's look at the example of Peter and John and the other Christians. I'll just take a little time to look at this and give you the context and setting of this story. You know, the book of Acts is about the birth of the church. And so in Acts chapter 3, the church is just a few days, few weeks old. And the disciples are together there at Jerusalem. And in Acts chapter 3, Peter and John went up to the temple to pray. And there in the temple at the Gate Beautiful was a man that had been lame ever since he was born. And he was well known. It was well known that he was lame. Everybody knew it. The lame man would be there at the Gate Beautiful. He would be asking alms. He was begging. And as Peter and John came up there, he asked alms. And Peter said, I don't have any silver and gold, but what I have, I'll give. And he said, and in the name of Jesus Christ, you stand up. Rise up and walk, he says. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, and this man leaped up, and his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he was just excited in the temple, leaping and walking and praising God, it says in verse 8. And all the people saw him, and everyone came together to see this, and Peter preached a sermon. That's in verse 12. It says, and when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, and he preached all the way down to verse 26. Well, in chapter 4, verse 1, and verse up to verse 4, the Sadducees and the temple leaders, the priests, they were grieved, it says, verse 2. They were grieved that Peter and John taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them, put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. So you can get the picture now of these leaders, Peter and John. Now they're in custody of the temple rulers. And the next day, that's what the next number of verses are about. They were brought before the high priest and the rulers and scribes and elders. And they said, how'd you do this? By what name, what authority and power did you heal this man? Because the temple priests and scribes, they couldn't just push this aside. Because in verse 16, it says that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them, is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem. We cannot deny it. And like I said, this man was well known. And he was standing there with, verse 14, and behold, the man which was healed standing with them, right in this council, they could say nothing against it. So they threatened them. Look in verse 19, first of all. No, I still didn't have the right verse. Verse 18, it says, and they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. And then Peter and John said, well, we're going to obey God rather than men. We're going to speak the things that we have seen and heard. And verse 21 says, when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. And so this situation was, it seemed like just, here was the young church, and Peter and John and the other leaders must have felt like that these leaders were just pushing down on them now, holding them back. And what did they do? Well, they committed it to the Lord. Verse 23 of chapter 4 here in Acts. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, and there's their prayer, the beautiful prayer. They acknowledged God and his sovereignty, his power, that he was God the creator, and that he had provided them salvation through Jesus Christ. And verse 28 says, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. They gave it to God. They committed it to God. God, look at the threatenings that, look what these men are threatening us with. Behold their threatenings. Psalm 37, verse 5 says, commit thy way unto the Lord. So when the burden's pressed, then commit it to God. You can't carry it. Throw it on the Lord. David in 2 Samuel 15. He faced the situation with his son, Absalom. And he knew Absalom was coming with an army. And so David hurriedly got out of Jerusalem. He gathered up his most of his household, gathered up his servants, and made an escape. Very, very sad. And David was weeping. The people were weeping. 2 Samuel 15:23, it says, "And all the country wept with a loud voice." And verse 30, it says, "And David went up by the ascent of Mount Olivet and wept as he went up, and had his head covered, and he went barefoot. And all the people that was with him covered every man his head, and they went up, weeping as they went up." What a heavy burden they were carrying. And then verse 31 says, "And one told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom." Now, Ahithophel was one of David's counselors. And in chapter 16:23, it says, "And the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God." So his counsel was sound. He was a good counselor. So on top of all that David was facing now, his counselor, and it just seems in Psalm 55 that it's talking, or that David's referring to that, because he said that it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide, my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company. Well, what did David do? He says that, David said, when he heard this about Ahithophel being with Absalom, he said, "O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness." So that brings us right to the A here in CAST. It's ask. Ask. Back to Acts and Peter and John and the other disciples there, when they said to God, "Lord, behold their threatenings." They committed it to him, and then they asked for something. And verse 29, if you're still there in Acts 5, says, "And grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal." So they asked. They asked for strength and boldness. They asked for patience. That's what we need to ask for. Ask for strength. They were doing what Philippians 4:6 tells us. Philippians 4, verse 6 says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Primarily by prayer, we cast our burdens on the Lord. But we come to him and we ask instead of worrying. That's what that word means, that phrase means. Be careful for nothing. That means don't fret. Don't have cares. Don't worry about it. Because we've committed it to the Lord now. And so now we ask for strength. Peter and John said, "Grant to thy servants boldness." David said, "Lord, I pray, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness." David asked for something very specific, didn't he? Turn that counsel into foolishness. Because he knew that Ahithophel's counsel was sound. It was good. Ahithophel had a good head on him. He could understand situations. And he knew what was going on here. He saw the kingdom was going to Absalom. Peter and John asked for something specific too, didn't they? They asked for boldness. So in your prayers, in your asking, after you commit it to God, this burden, I'm going to lay it on you, Lord, then you can't be like Jonah and run away. So ask for what you need. Patience. Strength. You know, I've wondered, I've been blessed with health the bigger part of my life. But for you men that earn a living for your family, what must it be like to not be able to do that? To not have the strength to go to work and provide. Or maybe not an opportunity to work. You know, some countries in the world, there's not opportunities like we have. I remember my wife's uncle, soon after we got married, and I helped my dad-in-law at the sawmill. He had a small mill, and he cut railroad ties, primarily. And then these ties, the company that bought the ties allowed for, a little bit of bark on the edge, a little bit of wane. But what was there had to be peeled off. The bark had to be peeled off so that when they treated them, the treatment would go in. And my wife's uncle had been in the Philippines for many years, still is. But he said that he would love to have a whole semi-load of railroad ties that need to be peeled for the Philippine men that just have a hard time finding work. Something that they can work at to support their families. And now, I didn't really enjoy peeling ties. It was part of the job that we did it. But he was just saying that there was men would be just ready to do that if they had it. Well, we're getting sidetracked here, but ask specifically. Asa said in 1 Chronicles 14:11, he said, as they were facing a huge army, he said, "We rest on thee, and in thy name we go." And I think that brings us to this, to the S, to submit, submission. When we come to the place, we've committed it, and we've asked the Lord, then we need to submit. We need to rest in God. And Asa said, "Here's this whole army, Lord. They outnumbered them. Asa said, "We rest on thee, and in thy name we go. You fight the battles." So we have to submit to a couple of things. One is that we have to submit to God's timing. And that's what David had to submit to. You know, he was on the run at this point where he asked God to turn the counsel of Ahithophel to foolishness. He was the one who looked foolish. And he was barefoot and crying, and the people were with him. And David, in 2 Samuel 15, the next verse says, "And it came to pass that when David was come to the top of the mount," this is the Mount of Olives right close to Jerusalem, "where he worshipped God, behold, Hushai the Archite came to meet him with his coat rent and earth upon his head. Unto whom David said, 'If thou passest on with me, then thou shalt be a burden unto me.'" It's interesting to see David's words there. He already had a number of burdens. He didn't need another one. For some reason, this man would have been a burden to him. David said this, "But if thou return to the city and say unto Absalom, 'I will be thy servant, O king, as I have been thy father's servant hitherto, so will I now also be thy servant.' Then mayest thou for me defeat the counsel of Ahithophel. And hast thou not there with thee Zadok and Abiathar the priests? Therefore it shall be that what things soever thou shalt hear out of the king's house, then thou shalt tell it to Zadok and Abiathar the priests. Behold, they have there with them their two sons, Ahimaaz, Zadok's son, and Jonathan, Abiathar's son. And by them ye shall send unto me everything that ye can hear. So Hushai, David's friend, came into the city, and Absalom came into Jerusalem. Now David had asked, and here God is already supplying, right? God is already sustaining him. He sent him Hushai. And so David, he sent Hushai back to Jerusalem. But David still had to wait on God's timing to work this whole thing out. How is this all going to work out? David didn't know. But he rested in God's timing on that. And I think with Peter and John as well, there's a phrase here that they also had to wait. They had to rest. They had to submit to God's timing. And that was in verse 30 in Acts 5. As they were praying, they said, we're asking for boldness and we're asking for your healing by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. So again, they were resting in God's timing. They were submitted to what God would do. The other thing that I think we need to be able to submit is thankfulness. You know, when we're in difficult situations, we have a burden, a situation that's a burden to us, responsibility that's a burden to us, a duty. It's hard to be thankful, isn't it? We can't submit very well if we're not thankful. And in Philippians 4 again, this is just verse 7, follows verse 6. We talk about be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. If we're going to be able to submit and have peace, submission does bring peace. We're going to be able to submit that we're going to have to be thankful. And we have to be thankful in spite of the present needs that we've had, that we have. We have needs. We have heavy burdens. We've committed it to God. We're asking for strength. We're asking for something specific because we have needs. And verse 6 says here in Philippians 4 that we do this by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Now, I know that in the times when there's burdens, that there's still something to be thankful for. I know that from my own experience. Just, you know, talking about peel and railroad ties again. I did have work. It was a time when I needed work, because that was after Karina and I were married. The first 6 months, we had to stay in Canada because she didn't have the papers to come to the United States. We needed something to live on. And that can be a little difficult because of the legality of the whole thing, but because in the past, my dad-in-law had paid Karina some money for work that she did. He just kept paying her. And I did the work. So, but we had to wait on God's timing. But there was a lot of things to be thankful for in that, at that present time, even though we had needs. Let's go back to the story about David and just see how God worked this out. How did God answer David's prayer? to turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. It seems like in Psalm 55, David was not, when he prayed and asked for God's judgment on these wicked people, he always said we, or them. I'm sorry, them. An example of that, if you look again in Psalm 55 and verse 12, 13, 14, it seems like he's talking about Ahithophel there. He's talking about his enemy. It's all singular. A man, my guide, my acquaintance, and then we, he and Ahithophel, took sweet counsel together and so on. And then in verse 15, there's a switch, and he says, let death seize upon them. It doesn't seem like David was personally like that. His desire for God to bring judgment and on this situation, that he wasn't wishing it personally on Ahithophel. It was more the whole situation and them, the conspirators. And we know he had a heart that way because he when the battle between Joab's men and Absalom's men, David's heart was for Absalom, that they would spare him. But how did God work this out? In chapter 17, 2 Samuel 17, the story goes on, and Ahithophel said unto Absalom, now, let me now choose out 12,000 men, and I will rise and pursue after David this night. And I will come upon him while he is weary and weak-handed, and will make him afraid. And all the people that are with him shall flee, and I will smite the king only. And I will bring back all the people unto thee. The man whom thou seekest is as if all returned. So all the people shall be in peace. And the saying pleased Absalom well, and all the elders of Israel. Now here's God. I don't know, for some reason, he put this thought into Absalom's mind. Verse 5, 2 Samuel 17. Then said Absalom, call now Hushai the Archite also. Let us hear likewise what he saith. Because remember, David told Hushai, now you go back and you tell Absalom that I'm going to, just like I was with your father, I'm going to be with you. And Hushai said unto Absalom, I'm sorry, I missed verse 6. And when Hushai was come to Absalom, Absalom spake unto him, saying, Ahithophel hath spoken after this manner. Shall we do after his saying? If not, speak thou. I'm just impressed how Hushai waited. He wasn't there in Absalom's face saying, here's my idea. He was waiting on God's timing too. God put it right there in Absalom's mind at the right time. Let's see what Hushai has to say. And Hushai came and said this in verse 7. The counsel that Ahithophel hath given is not good at this time. For, said Hushai, thou knowest thy father and his men, that they be mighty men, and they be chafed in their minds, as a bear robbed of her whelps in the field. And thy father is a man of war, and will not lodge with the people. Behold, he is hid now in some pit or in some other place. And it will come to pass, when some of them be overthrown at the first, that whosoever heareth it will say, there is a slaughter among the people that follow Absalom. And he also that is valiant, whose heart is as the heart of a lion, shall utterly melt. For all Israel knoweth that thy father is a mighty man, and they which be with him are valiant men. Therefore I counsel that all Israel be generally gathered unto thee, from Dan even to Beersheba, as the sand that is by the sea for multitude, and that thou go to battle in thine own person. So shall we come upon him in some place where he shall be found. We will light upon him as the dew falleth on the ground, and of him and of all the men that are with him there shall not be left so much as one. Moreover, if he be gotten into a city, then shall all Israel bring ropes to that city, and we will draw it into the river, until there be not one small stone found there. And Absalom and all the men of Israel said, the counsel of Hushai the Archite is better than the counsel of Ahithophel. For the Lord had appointed to defeat the good counsel of Ahithophel to the intent that the Lord might bring evil unto Absalom. See how God took that burden for David? After David had committed and asked and submitted, sad to say, Ahithophel, verse 23 of the same chapter, he ended up hanging himself because of what the way things turned out. Whatever his burden was, he didn't cast it on the Lord at all. So, for the T here, for trusting, we have to just trust God for the future. We don't know what the future is. We have to trust God for the future. That's a simple truth. Psalm 55, verse 23. The very last verses of the very last verse of this psalm says, "But I will trust in thee." And Brother Anthony this morning was talking about that. How can we err? And I appreciate what he said, that, you know, it's where we miss something important. We miss a vital part of or the truth of God's word. We don't take all the doctrines together. And I believe that can be the same way with our trust. You know, if we don't trust God for the future. Proverbs 3:5 says, "Lean not unto thine own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding." Jesus said in Matthew 6 that you don't need to worry about your needs, your bodily needs, food and shelter and clothing. He said, look at the birds. Do they store up food for the winter? They don't plant gardens. They don't gather it into barns. But God takes care of them. God's able to take care of the birds. So he'll be able to take care of you. First Peter 5:7 says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." So again, when we cast, we commit, we ask, we submit and trust, God will take care of us. Let's turn to Psalm 37 for a few verses here in closing. Psalm 37 is another psalm where David wrote about the wicked people. And I'll start reading at verse 3. Psalm 37, 3. "Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday." Isn't that quite an amazing verse? Think about when the sun comes up in the morning. When there's no clouds, you can see it. Even when there is clouds, you can still see the light. God says that when we commit, we trust, then he's going to, says here, bring forth our righteousness. You know, the situations that are burdensome to us, things that are difficult, that we don't see a way through, God's going to bring it forth into the full light. Verse 7, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth." Well, God bless you this week as you commit and you ask, submit, and trust. Cast your burdens on the Lord. He will sustain you. Let's kneel for prayer.